Oh, good afternoon, everyone. I apologize for being off to a late start today. I am I'm at a conference and lost track of time, and all of a sudden it was time. So anyway, I'll call the meeting to order. The first item is the approval of the minutes from the May 16 meeting. I'll make a motion to approve them.
Doug, I'll second the motion.
Any comments regarding that or discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Matt.
Aye, Doug.
All right, thank you. And then we have some loans this month, and turn to the page to get the total here.
Mr. Chairman, those loans have all been approved for public purpose.
Thank you. And so we have about $8.4 million in loans. I'll make a motion to approve the loan.
Mr. Doug, I'll second the motion.
Is there any discussion regarding the loans this month?
Yeah, this is Matt. I'll just speak relatively briefly here. Obviously, I've been voting no for a while, but Jonathan sent you something in regards to loan number 9, which is on our agenda for today, which is about half the loan amount being lent out. It's to the School District of St. Francis in Milwaukee area for $4 million for energy efficiency projects. And I guess the thing I'd point out, I sent an article, I don't know if either of my fellow commissioners had a chance to read it today, but one of the concerns I have is what's happening in St. Francis is they're going around the revenue limits for this loan, and I know the thing Jonathan sent that, you know, they don't factor that in and looking at it or looking at loans, but obviously I am a statewide person. I represent St. Francis like the other gentleman on the call, and when I talked to the people at St. Francis, I was really kind of taken aback by how much they're actually going to be spending extra. Because their whole limit is, their levy limit that they tax for their school district per year is $7 million. And this is a $4 million loan, which is over half of their total levy limit. And next year, they have to go down in their reduction in their levy, $948,000. So if we don't authorize this, and they don't get a loan somewhere else, then their levy limit will not go up. And the people that live in that community, St. Francis School District community, their taxes will go down a significant amount. I was told the mill rate will go from down $1.74. So that means on a $200,000 home, they would save about $348 a year that they're paying now. So it's not like their taxes would go up, but their taxes could go down. And so this is, and the other thing I included was Governor Walker has a provision in his budget, and my understanding talking to members of the Assembly and Senate is that budget provision is staying in. If this bill had passed, Walker's budget had passed by today, this thing that they're trying to do would not even be eligible. So this was something that was slipped in 2009 in the one budget year, and it's causing a lot of spending. So I think it would make sense possibly to delay this possible, this number 9, maybe till after the budget, so see if it's even legal anymore. But I don't support it, so I'll let you guys talk about it.
Well, I have a question. I mean, how can this be a bad thing? Because from my studies of energy, which I've done quite a lot, going back to the Carter administration even, and I have not analyzed this project, but usually these energy efficiency programs pay for themselves fairly quickly, 10 to 12 years, depending on whether it's insulation or windows or light bulbs or whatever they plan to do in St. Francis. So how can that be a bad thing? This is my overall reaction.
I'll answer that question. I can't speak to all the specifics that they're doing. I don't have a list. I'm not talking about the actual what they're even doing, about their energy efficiency. They might pay it back probably over 10, 20 years. I don't know. My only point is these are supposed to go, almost every other thing goes to referendum. And if they had gone to referendum and got an approval, I would say that's a different story. But this was never voted on by the residents of St. Francis. So I think if they went the correct route and got approval, and then the people had a chance to vote in the ballot box on one of the elections, that would be a different case. And then they would have, to your point, Doug, they would have sold them on whether these energy efficiency upgrades were needed or not. But this is going around the revenue limits. It was a provision slipped in the budget in 2009 under Governor Doyle's last budget, and it's being taken out this year. And it was legislation last year that didn't. It came out at the very end of session by Representative Adam Nealon and Senator Frank Lissay. But it's in Governor Walker's budget, and my understanding is it's staying in. So,
that brings up another point, and I did read the information you sent. I thank you. Is that I personally, speaking not as a Democrat, but to someone who understands the energy issues in this country, would be, I find it to be upsetting that the legislature is considering removing this provision, which in the past and in the future could provide a tremendous amount of energy saving in literally hundreds of schools across the state. So I personally would be opposed
to removing
I gotta tap the brakes on this conversation, guys. This isn't our business. We decide whether it is a proper public purpose, and that's not making a policy decision about whether it's good for St. Francis to take this loan out or not. We decide whether it is legal for them to do this under our rule, and then approve it or not. We don't make these policy decisions. We're not experts on this. I have no intention of bringing in experts to get us up to speed so we could do this, and we would be wildly out of our lane if we did this. So
I understand
this till the cows come home, but it's not our issue.
No, I understand that, Brad, and it is a legislative, just what Doug was saying, that's a separate issue. My only whole point is, about a month from now, they won't be able to do this loan. So, I don't support it, obviously. The fact is, when we vote for this, the people that live in St. Francis, their taxes, instead of going down next year, will stay the same, which is, I call it an increase. So, I won't support it under any circumstance. So, we can go on to the vote, though, if you'd like.
Okay. Well, any other discussion, Doug?
I have some other, but I'll wait till after the vote.
Okay. Then all in favor say aye. Aye, Brad.
Aye, Doug.
Matt, I'll vote no.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairperson?
Yes?
The point I was making before is that I think removing this is a very bad policy issue, and because most of these schools come to us for this energy-efficient money, it does have an impact, and we have, therefore, we may have something to say about it. I would make a motion that we contact the legislature and tell them that we oppose removing this ability for schools to borrow money for energy efficiency. And I know Matt's against it, Brad. I think it'd be great for you to support me on that.
Doug, I don't think you're going to get a second on this. This becomes a policy decision that just has nothing to do with the mission of BCPL. I'm not going to second that. I don't want to get involved in that.
It's also not on the agenda, but I agree with Brad. I mean, that's a policy decision.
Well, it may be, but as a statewide elected person, you have an obligation to look out for your constituents, and saving energy in these schools is a high priority, particularly when their budgets are tight. If they can save money, it's a wonderful thing.
I think putting the official stamp of the BCPL on getting involved in this issue, I think it's a mistake. I can't imagine Doug's going to second it. Matt's going to second it. I won't either, Doug. So.
Okay, then I would request that, as Johnson pointed out, it's not on the agenda. I would request it be on our next agenda so we can discuss it.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, we don't need a second for that.
Nope.
Thank you.
And we don't have any old business or new business on the agenda. Any other future agenda items besides that?
I guess my request would be under new business, but you got there already. Thank you.
Okay. Jonathan, an executive secretary's report and investment transaction report?
Yeah, you've got the transaction report, and I'll let Rich expand on it. But we are now, I believe, have about $7.5 million in capital gains booked sale of bonds. Most recently, a $1.2 million increase, capital gain. These bonds that we're selling right now are... I'll let Rich explain it, but we're selling in a window where we're able to make these capital gains, and these are declining value, if you want to look at it that way, because bonds we're selling are all callable at a fairly short time frame, 2020, 2021.
That's right. They generally have high coupons, and so we expect them to be called in 20 and 21. And so there's a real good incentive for us to sell these because we'll only be earning interest on them for a few more years, and if we can take the large capital gain in the meantime, that's a good thing for the beneficiaries.
And then we've been turning around and reinvesting in bonds for the in the main part, and the interest rates are holding in the 3.7, 3.75 range. So the bottom line is that we're booking some money for our smoothing fund and to and it's money for our stakeholders, but it's an upper that it would be like a dissipating asset if we don't capitalize on it.
That's right.
I'd like to make one other observation. From time to time, we communities come in and ask for a loan, and they often use our loan rate as a benchmark and then try and shop it to other outlets. We've lost a few loans recently. Minocqua, for example, over $4 million, they ended up getting a 2/10% better rate over 15 years fixed than we were able to offer them at 20 years. So this tells us, and we've got six or seven other loans that were lost to a local bank, or maybe at a lower rate, most likely a match. This tells us that our interest rates are probably, a little bit on the high side, but not such that we want to lower them. They're certainly not too low because we're able to be undercut by regular community banks on occasion. And that's a balancing act that we try and maintain here. And I don't know if we'll be able to hold these interest rates at the level we're at, what we're holding so far.
Yeah, that's right. Demand has maintained pretty stable, and so until that changes and the markets change a little bit more, interest rates have come down quite a bit in the last few weeks, but I think they'll need to come down a little bit more before we feel the need to change the program rates.
I guess this is my long way of saying that I don't think we're charging too little for our loans if we're losing loans to local banks on occasion.
This is Doug. I have a question, and I think I know the answer, having been on the board for a while. Under our system, we have no option of negotiating. Or not true?
We do not, at present, have a policy that would encourage negotiation.
For example, if a bank went 2/10 lower, we could say, well, we'll match that.
Well, but if we do that, then we've got a whole chain of loans with other communities. It's much more efficient for us to have a fixed rate and change it and be sensitive to the changing rates than to try and negotiate each loan individually. I think that's a recipe for some unhappy communities.
Okay.
Doug, with general obligation loans, we have a fixed rate that's available to all of our borrowers. For revenue-based loans, negotiated on an individual basis.
So if we do an economic development revenue-based loan, we do negotiate, Doug.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Actually, we negotiate typically higher. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that. We both second, so I guess that tells us what the vote will be. Thank you, everybody, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for approving our loan.
You bet.
You're very welcome. Have a good time with it.
Thank you.